You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on episode 7 of the RedCafe.net podcast, we'll rejoice over Michael Owen's last gasp Manchester Derby winner. We'll also look at the performance against Wolves in the Carling Cup. And Dov will be chatting all things reserve team football with Mr. Mujack from the RedCafe.net forums. In addition to that, we'll be looking ahead to Saturday's Premier League trip to the Britannia Stadium, where a Stoke fan will be joining us on the line to offer his opinion on the game. Stay tuned for all that, plus much, much more on the simply unmissable RedCafe.net podcast.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net. Or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Well, hello and welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. I'm Stephen Darwin, as always, and I'm joined by Mr. Daniel Lomax and David Chiavoni. How are we, guys?
Not too bad, Stephen. Not too bad. How are you doing?
I'm a little bit under the weather, to be honest, Dov. I don't know whether it's flu or like a 24-hour bug, or probably just man flu, to be honest. But yeah,
I think you've been celebrating too much from the weekend, and it's a hangover.
Probably, yeah. How are you this week, Dan?
Yeah, I'm very good, thanks, lads. Obviously, watched the Derby game, and I'm still happy about it, so yeah.
Just happy, Dan? Happy?
No, I just keep, at work, I keep thinking about Michael Owen. I don't know if there's something wrong with me, I don't know, but...
maybe.
It comes back to me, I don't know.
It depends what you're thinking about with him, Dan.
No, I'm just, it's all goals, Dov.
Brings me to the first point quite nicely, actually, guys. Michael Owen, obviously with that last gasp sort of winner, he'll go down in United folklore for that, but is he really a legend? Come on, he scored one goal, albeit a really, really important goal, but I still don't think that makes him a legend.
No, simple as that. He's not. You can't class him as a legend if he's scored one goal. Well, two goals, but one good goal, you know. Nah, not a chance. He's got a lot to do to get to that sort of status, but you know, if he gets the winner against Liverpool, then he'll inch edge closer to it, you know.
Like I said, if he gets a winner against Liverpool and does the same celebration, then I can maybe think about classing him as a legend. But until then, he will remain a very, very good player.
Well, we had a
new change of tune. Only 2 weeks ago, you were saying he was rubbish.
Hey, well, I'm allowed to change my mind. That's allowed. It was fantastic. I jumped out of my seat and nearly fell out of the guy in front of me in the pub.
I don't think he's an absolutely outstanding striker. I think he brings something to us coming off the bench as an impact sub. I know he was heavily involved in the Welbeck goal against Wolves, which we'll discuss a little later on. But he gives us that little something extra, doesn't he? A bit like when we brought in Henrik Larsson. That sort of player, he'll come off the bench and he's always handy to have. Obviously, Berbatov and Rooney are the set front partnership that shouldn't be changed. But certainly he's... For free as well. You can't really ask for anything more. But
do you not think it was quite a composed finish as well, though, for being in like the 96th minute of a derby game, which was like from what I had in it before, for him to like get the ball slipped through and sort of to calmly place it in the far corner? I thought that was really, really good, and showed a bit like Michael Owen of old, as people have said as well in the media.
I was just going to say, actually, I mean, if you'd said 10 years ago, who do you want that chance to fall to? I'd have said Michael Owen, hands down. But nowadays, that sort of pressure situation, I would have maybe thought, oh, is Owen really up to this? Will he really have that decent first touch and the composure to stick it in the corner of the net? I wouldn't have been so sure, but he certainly proved me wrong there. Fantastic finish. And it gave us the win in the derby, so really, you cannot ask for much more. But got an email from Aaron Holtzclaw. He emailed in to say, I don't care if Owen was a Scouser. He came through in a big game, and I love him. But what about Darren Fletcher, guys? You've got to say he's world class now, haven't you? I mean, one of the big things you might have said before that was sort of a hindrance in his game, and maybe you'd pick a hole out of his game because of it, was because he didn't sort of provide goals on a regular basis, and well, he's come up with a brace in a massive game. What can you say?
I think it's a bit premature, Steve, to start calling him world class. That's like calling Michael Owen a legend.
Oh, I don't know.
Darren Fletcher's not world class. I'm standing firm on that one. He's not world class. He's been fantastic.
I bet though, Dov, on form, if you're going to go across Europe, I bet on form he's one of he'll be one of the top players up there at the moment. I'm not going to say he's world class, because I argue that Rooney's not world class sometimes, so I can't really go and say Fletcher is.
I don't know what more Darren Fletcher could do though to be classed as a world class player. I mean, Dov, you're Mr. Italian expert, who from Serie A would you say is better than Darren Fletcher at doing that role? Gennaro Gattuso?
No, no, Gattuso's past it. He's 33 and over the hill. Felipe Melo.
De Rossi. Fantastic.
De Rossi. De Rossi's amazing, actually. De Rossi's a better player than him.
Never.
De Rossi's... Oh, Steve, come on. De Rossi's won the World Cup.
To be fair, though, I don't think I'd... I don't think... I mean, I think Rossi, De Rossi's a better player, but I wouldn't... I don't think I'd swap him, because I think Fletcher, having grown up at United, he knows what it means to play for the thing, and he'll always go the extra mile. I don't think someone like De Rossi would. He's all an out Roma. He loves the club. So.
Yeah, like, that's De Rossi. Like he's a like, Romanista. That's his club. So obviously he's got that passion. But he's a fiery character anyway. So I think whoever he played for, he would give 110% because that's the type of player he is. And again, Fletcher, like credit to him, he does that as well. There's just something there I don't like. I just think sometimes his passing can be off. And sometimes he just runs about like a headless chicken.
No, I don't agree with that. I think he can control the tempo of the game now. Like, when we need to speed it up, he'll play a fizzing pass. When he doesn't, he'll just play a nice little pass to the right or left back, or give it to Rio or Vidic, whoever. I think it's just... The good thing about Fletcher is that he's grown into the role now, and he knows which pass to play at the right time.
He plays with confidence as well. There's an air of confidence. He just wants the ball, doesn't he? He wants to command the ball. He wants to dictate play. And I think it's great to see.
Like, he's not world class, that, because he's sort of good. He's good at everything, but not great at everything, if you know what I mean. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's fair enough. I'd say that on his game at the moment, I don't think there's anyone, like Dan was saying, that I'd replace him with. I think he's irreplaceable at the moment. But we had an email from Ed Dulat. He said Fletcher is now his favourite player. And... I'm sure many Manchester United fans would agree with that at the moment as well. What about Ryan Giggs, guys? I mean, what a terrific season he is having. You look at last season and picking up the Player of the Year and things like that, and he's kicked on, hasn't he? He's performing even better, and even as an old-fashioned winger. I mean, many of us predicted that he was just a centre midfielder now because he didn't have the legs for it, but he was running rings around Micah Richards, wasn't he?
That's because Micah Richards is rubbish. Micah Richards can't defend anymore. He doesn't know how to. The amount of times that Micah Richards committed a blatant foul, then turned around and started moaning at the referee or linesman or whoever. Yeah, talking about Ryan Giggs, it wasn't 2 weeks ago that we were saying how rubbish he was when he played against us at Arsenal and just looked a shadow of the player. And then 2 weeks later, he just was superb, just creating everything, like down the left, drifting inside as well. It was fantastic.
Yeah, well, he's still a quality player, and he's got something to offer as well, hasn't he? But like you say, against City, I mean, the way that he was taking players on was great to see, because I mean, he's not done that for a while, I don't think, really, the way he's probably gone at somebody. But maybe he knew that he could get at Richards. Even he did Ireland a few times as well, didn't he? So he's full of confidence at the moment.
I don't know.
As good as well as like he couldn't beat them for pace. So instead of beating them once with skill, he beat them twice. Instead, it was great to watch.
He continues to prove me wrong as well. I mean, I looked at that team sheet before the game and I thought, no Nani, no Antonio Valencia. Where is our attacking threat going to come from in terms of wide positions? Because Park, we know, is a worker and he's not really as good as someone like Nani at attacking players with sort of skill. And we know the qualities that Nani has. We know that Valencia is happy to take on a man. But Ryan Giggs, you'd have thought maybe... Has he lost a bit of pace? Has he really got that ability to play on the left wing anymore? Then there he goes and does it and completely dominates the game.
And what about ex-United player Carlos Tevez? Obviously got a nice reaction from the fans. I quite enjoyed that. What did you make of his contribution to the game?
Well, he nearly scored, didn't he? That was the big worry when he hit the post. And I think my heart was in my mouth at the time because he would have milked that something chronic, wouldn't he? So, delighted he didn't score. I don't know, I always think, I don't know, bottom of my heart, I think Carlos Tevez, I still, not like him, but I feel a bit of sympathy for him in a way. I might get shot down for that on the pod, because I know he's come out and said a few things that he shouldn't have done, and he keeps coming back and getting involved, and he shouldn't do that, but...
What sort of sympathy do you feel for him?
I don't know, like, you could see his reaction when he walked out on his face. Carlos Tevez, he was gutted, wasn't he, that the fans were booing him. I can understand why we booed him, because if it's true and there was a contract on the table for him, then why does he feel the need to go to City? But and City of all clubs as well. But yeah, little tiny bit of sympathy for him. But what about you, Dan?
I'm kind of like in your boat, Steve. I mean, but at the same time, you know, he could have stayed on if he'd wanted to. But I've got a feel he can't be as thick as what he sounds. I think he's been badly advised all the way. I think, to be fair. And he won't shut up talking about Man United, will he? That must really annoy the City fans, because it'd annoy me if it was the other way around. No, I thought he had a decent game, though.
What about the role of Mr. Ben Foster, guys? I'm obviously a big admirer of his from the past, but there's no excuses for what he was trying to do there. You know what I think it was? The big problem was he was feeling so confident that he just thought, I can deal with this, I've got no need to put it out and concede possession. When obviously the right thing to do would have either to have kicked it out or just hoofed it long. But that is going to absolutely wreck him now, isn't it? And it'd be difficult for him. Well, it'd be difficult, I think, for Ferguson to pick him now. I think he's going to go with Kuchak, especially after how well. Well, he wasn't outstanding against Wolves, but he did the jobs he had to do really well. He held everything that was shot at him, and I thought he had quite a good game. So I don't see why Thomas Kuchak shouldn't get a chance now.
The thing is, like you say, Ben Foster, Van der Sar's injured, okay? And Ben Foster's had his chance, and he's clearly not taking it. There's been a few games that he looks shaky. He looks really, really shaky. The mental aspect of his game is not there at all. And he doesn't control his penalty area. He just doesn't do it. And I'm not happy. I want him out of the team ASAP. I think he's a good backup, a good guy to bring in every now and again, but he's not a first team. He's not a number one, not at all.
I wouldn't agree that he's...
Hang on. How many saves has he made this season where he saved us points? He's won us points just off brilliant saves.
Right, and what if
we didn't lose the game, get over it. Rio made a bad mistake. What are you going to do? Are you going to just kick him out of the team as well?
But Rio's proved it.
Ever gave the ball away for Bellamy's first goal. Let him settle in the team. Ben Foster, how many starts has he had? Come on, Ben. I think you're over the top.
But Dan, it doesn't matter how many starts he's had. When he plays, he looks shaky.
Van der Sar doesn't come for crosses every game. In fact, he flaps at crosses.
I'm not saying he comes for crosses, but when Ben Foster cannot make a decision at all, ever. He just can't do it. His footwork's terrible. It's like when he's in goals, when he's got the ball at his feet, he doesn't know what to do. He's always thinking, should I kick it long? Should I look for a pass? He doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, I'm just not being funny, right? But I know, as a fan, right, and I've only watched Ben Foster how many times since he's been playing at United, I know that he's all left foot. Right, so why can't the players that play with him know that he's all left foot? Why put it on his right foot like they did? In the first minute the ball was on his right foot and he had to readjust to kick it with his left. They know he's all left foot, so why not just put the ball on his left side so he can get rid of it? Every time it's on his left foot, he gets rid of it.
He's a professional football player. He should be able to kick a ball hard and long with his right foot.
Yeah, but he probably can do, but he probably feels more pressure on his right foot than he does on his left. He won't even think about it on his left foot.
That's a mental aspect then, and he's got to get that worked out. He shouldn't be in the team.
But you only get by playing games. You can't just drop him now for three games. And then when Van der Sar comes back, just drop him for the rest of the season. It's a joke. What's the point of bringing him in the first place?
Because he doesn't look good enough. That's the point. He doesn't look like.
Well, that's what I'm saying though. Yeah, but you let Everett prove himself. Vidic has proved himself. You know, you were slating Michael Owen 3 weeks ago.
Dan, will Sir Alex Ferguson bring in Thomas Kuchak after his performance in the Carling Cup, or will he stick with Ben Foster?
I think he'll stick with Ben Foster. I hope he does, because if you drop Ben Foster now, then he will be completely shot.
The thing is that annoys me about him, right? It's like, alright, it makes a mistake, but it makes mistakes all the time. Where do you draw the line? Where do you say, right, that's enough mistakes?
How many goals were his fault?
I think he could have done with the second Bellamy.
No, I mean all season, Dom. I'm not on about just Sunday. I mean all season.
I can't tell you exactly.
I would argue that he saved us more points than what he has given us, you know, given away. What? Where's the mistakes he's made? Where he's lost us points?
It was horrendous against Chelsea in the Charity Shield. Every time a cross comes in the box off anybody, it looks shaky and it looks like we were going to concede. And it's mentally he's not there. He's just not there for me.
Let's bring in a couple of emails now. Nathan Hornsby, he said he'd been encouraged by Foster, but he doesn't know if he's the sort of world-class goalkeeper that's often needed to win championships. I guess in the in the Van der Sar mould. Sean Field sort of echoed those sentiments, and he says that he was actually ready to let Foster take over from Van der Sar, but now he's not so sure. Well, Troy's emailed in and said that he's tired of Berbatov wasting chances, Dan. Now, you're a big Berbatov fan, so what would you say to Troy to sort of ease his worries?
I think that the fact that he's getting in the position to score the chances is very important. And I like the way his attitude seems to have changed a little bit this season, whether it's because somebody's had a word with him or not. I think that, obviously, his general round play has been very good since the start of the season. I think the goals will come. He just needs to get that one, you know, top quality goal that everyone knows he's got in his locker. And once he gets that, he'll get confidence and he'll go on a little run. No problems with Berbatov. I think he works well with Rooney. There's a lot of 1-2s going on around the edge of the area. And I like the look of that as well. So, yeah, keep the faith, Troy.
Well, let's move on to discuss the other game that took place this week, guys. It was, of course, the 1-0 victory over Wolves in the Carling Cup. I didn't see all the game, but I must say it wasn't the most entertaining performance. I guess, with Fabio obviously being sent off, that it was just good to get through.
I thought we'd play a little bit better than what we did. It looked a bit flat from Sunday's game. I know he fully, you know, revamped the team, didn't he? 11 changes. But, I mean, I thought Wes Brown played very well. You know, a few of his last-ditch tackles in the second half especially, you know, saved us a little bit there. I thought Gary Neville had a very good game. I was unsure of Sir Welbeck in the first half. I didn't think he did much, but obviously then he comes up with the goal. I thought it was a decent performance, especially playing like an hour with 10 men as well. So, yeah, good result, that.
Dov, Danny Welbeck, would you prefer to see him on the wing or as an out-and-out striker?
I think he's better as an out-and-out striker, but he works really well coming in from the right-hand side. He's got great pace and his finish was fantastic. Really, really good finish. I'm very encouraged by sort of what he done on Wednesday. I think he's got a big future ahead of him.
The man of the moment, Michael Owen as well, heavily involved for the Welbeck goal. That was a really good touch to put him through. So more sort of singing of the praises of Mr. Michael Owen. He's had a pretty good week. And a debut for Norwegian Josh King. I'm sure we've discussed him in previous podcasts playing for the reserves, and Mr. Mujak mentions him in the interview a bit later on. But Dan, were you impressed with his performance?
Yeah, he looked very lively, didn't he? He looked like he put himself about a bit. He had a few shots as well. And his pace was something to watch out for. I thought he had a really good first game. Good decision by Fergie to bring him on. Sort of blooding him in the first team, and we'll see how he gets on this season. He might get a few more outings. We never know. No, I thought he played very well. It's exciting.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
It's Cabbage and Player of the Week time now, guys. There's quite a few contenders for both awards this week, really, when you take into account the Manchester City game. So, Dov, I'll start with you. Player of the Week for you this week?
Darren Fletcher. I'm going to have to definitely eat humble pie. It was amazing, again. I'm going to... Ben Foster, hopefully, I'll do the same, because I've called him rubbish now as well. So, but Darren Fletcher, definitely Player of the Week.
Dan?
I'm going to go Michael Owen just for that brilliant finish, the way he took it as well. Like, we mentioned it before, you know, pressure moment. A lot of other players had just swung the foot at that and skied it over. So, Michael Owen.
And you, Steve?
I am going to give it to Ryan Giggs this week. I thought he put in a really outstanding shift against City. He just continues to defy the odds, really. Another brilliant performance and heavily involved. I think he got 3 assists, didn't he? So heavily involved in the game. On to Cabbage of the Week. Well, I guess it's between Rio Ferdinand and Ben Foster. Dan, you're not going to give it to Foster, so will it be Rio for you?
I think Anderson, actually. I don't think he played very well on Sunday. Not where we needed to. The amount of times he tried to thread a ball through to Rooney's feet, and every time it was getting cut out, I could tell you every time he was going to do it that Gareth Barry or De Jong was going to read it. I thought that he was poor. He did a few good tackles and things like that, got himself involved, but I mean, I just thought he was a bit average, really. I know that Foster made a mistake, I know Rio did as well, but I thought Rio played well generally, apart from that daft moment, but I think Anderson.
Well, I'm going to give it to Rio for that daft moment you just pointed out there, Dan. The position we were in, well, you don't need me to explain it, do you? It was absolutely crazy. I don't know what he was trying. So, yeah, Rio Ferdinand for that silly little flick that gave away a goal, ultimately. Dov, Cabbage of the Week.
it's quite obvious, really. Ben Foster, absolute rubbish. Absolute rubbish, for reasons said before. Not a happy man about it at all.
Well, Dov's going to bring us all the details from Reserves Review now, Dov. I believe it was defeat to Liverpool with David and Go on the score sheet.
It was indeed. It wasn't fun for us at all. He scored after 5 minutes, so obviously straight away we're on the back foot. Basically, it was a massive punt forward by the Liverpool goalkeeper David Martin. N'Golo tried to control it, but because he's not very good, he miscontrolled it. And sort of the ball bubbled away and he ran after it along with Richie DeLay and Joe Dudgeon as well. And basically he got there first and sort of poked the ball past Zieler in the United goal. And basically United were on the back foot for maybe the first half hour or so until Damien Plessis, I think that's how you say his name, French guy, lunged into a challenge against Magnus Ekram and basically was sent off. Excuse me. And after that, we took the initiative and totally dominated Liverpool. Josh King was latching onto balls with Tosic. Who else? Danny Welbeck was fantastic as well. Magnus Ekram played great. We also had a goal disallowed. Basically, Makeda backheeled a finish, but apparently Josh King made an illegitimate challenge on the Liverpool goalkeeper to get the ball from a free kick. And also, just a quick point, Zieler even went up front towards the end of the game to try and see if he could snatch an equaliser, but it wasn't to be, and we got beat 1-0.
RedCafe.net, the leading Manchester United forum.
Well, everybody, we have a very special treat for you. We have Mr. Mujak, or as he's going to be known on the RedCafe.net podcast, it's Tony Park. He is our other reserve and academy guru. Tony, what would you like to be on the RedCafe.net podcast?
I don't know about guru, because one of the great things I found out on the Red Cafe Reserve and Youth Forum is there's a handful, if not a dozen people who take a real keen interest in the young Reds and have got a wealth of knowledge. And I know that one of the great things about having a bunch of people who follow the sort of juniors from around the world is you get information that you wouldn't normally get. So a lot of the young Scandinavians who are coming to the club, we get the heads up with information from those guys. The Italians and the French guys that have recently joined us, there was quite a few people from that part of the world giving us translations. So it's just great, really, that there's a whole range of people from across Europe and around the world who take such interest in our youth, with our youth kids. And it's something that's been around for the last 50 years, and long may it continue.
Indeed, it's one of the better youth setups in world football. But we've decided to bring you on. We want to get some proper, like, in-depth insight into some of these young players that maybe the sort of fan that just doesn't read too much into who's going to make it, who's going to be the next John O'Shea. Because I love John O'Shea. John O'Shea is fantastic. So yeah, first there was a reserve game that I want to talk about just quickly before we move on to some of the players, and that was the Liverpool United game, and unfortunately we got beat in that one. And I believe you were there as well, Tony. How was that game? How was it for us? And did any players stand out for you, even though we got beat?
Yeah, a couple. It was an interesting game because I think what's been fascinating for the reserves is there's a couple of things going on, really, two or three things going on. You've got the likes of some senior players who are being second team football every now and again, the likes of Tosic coming in, Makeda, Gary Neville, Wes Brown. So you've got these players coming in, and it's interesting on two fronts. Firstly, they don't dominate the games, which sometimes you'd expect them to, with their skill and their experience, to really dominate games, and you just don't see it for one reason or another. Ollie very much maintains a core of the team. So, for example, even if Gary Neville's playing, James Chester will still be captain, or Corey Evans will still be captain. So it's interesting from that perspective, but also with some kids coming through from the 18, such as Josh King, which we can talk about more in a minute, Ollie's really learning his game as well, and he's having a number of different tactical formations already this season based on the players he has available. So that's just, it's just fascinating watching all of that.
Tony, you mentioned Tosic there. I just want to get a quick opinion from you. Like, how is he developing? Because I watched him a lot last season, and he seemed to be developing into quite a good left winger, but this season it doesn't seem like he's where we want him to be. I mean, how has his development sort of came on for you? How has he developed over the last sort of 8 to 9 months?
Well, firstly, I think when he came, it was a massive shock to the system. I just don't think he was used to the physicality of English football. And that's not to say that the leagues he was playing with over in Belgrade or whoever were not physical. I'm sure they were, but it was a total different game in terms of the pace of the game. Even at reserve level, it's quick, it's physical, and particularly the way we play a lot of direct one-touch football. We build from the back, and I thought at first he just wasn't used to that particular environment. Once he got his head around it, I think, and got used to it, I saw a big improvement with him last season, which you mentioned. I think on the ball, he's got some lovely touches. I think he's got a great left foot. He's good with his right foot. He's superb dribbling. And I think he could be a really good addition to the team. I would like to see him impose himself more at reserve level. You think with the level of experience he's got playing at international level as well, that he would just do more in the game. But I always give people the benefit of the doubt. I just think that, you know, with foreigners coming into the club, it just takes them time to settle. I mean, Patrice Evra was a good example at first team level. You know, he had a nightmare first 6 months. After that period, he seemed to have, you know, realised what it needed to be a Manchester United footballer. He stepped up and he's turning into a first class left fullback. So I think the jury for me anyway is still out with Tosic. A lot of the lads who I go to the reserve games with, they get very frustrated with him because they think he should be doing more. I'm not sure yet. He has the talent, he has the ability without a shadow of a doubt. He's developing the physical side of his game. Let's hope he pushes on and gives us more options at first team level. I think the skill's there, certainly.
I hope so as well. Just another sort of general point, is there any players that have played reserve football that sort of caught your eye and you think they're not going to make it, but they're definitely going to step up and be part of the first team squad in the near future?
Yeah, I think there's three or four lads that I think, you know, people should look out for. I think the first one's Magnus Ekram. The last 4 or 5 games that I've seen, particularly since, you know, he's been away in the summer and come back, he's developed physically. I think he's a much stronger footballer. I thought he was outstanding last week against Liverpool. I thought he was probably our best player. He was, you know, some of his passing was just first class. And if Scholes or Beckham or anybody else was doing those sort of passes, everybody would be raving about it at first team level. He was really controlling the game, which I hadn't seen him do before at that level. So I think that it could be interesting to see how the coaching staff feel about his development. I remember reading an article from Ollie not so long ago saying that they don't expect much of him until he's 21, 22 years old. And again, we saw that with Darren Fletcher. It took him a long time to sort of physically develop into the player that he's become today. So he's one, I think, be very interesting to see that if he gets a run out in the Carling Cup or one of the subs benches towards the end of the season or in a game that's not so important. That'll be interesting. So I look forward to seeing him. The other one is Matty James. He's been a lot spoken about, Matty James. I think he's an outstanding prospect. He's got a great engine. He plays the simple ball. He can score goals. He's physically mature. He's one of the most grounded lads that I've seen at that level. A lot of them, it goes to their heads in terms of, you know, the whole Manchester United thing, and I'm near the first team. He was on the bench last year at Hull. Didn't get a run. But I think he's a classy footballer. I'm really looking forward to him, see him, what he does at first team level if he ever gets the chance. But the one everyone's talking about is Josh King. And I don't know if you know, but he was given a first team squad number today.
Was it? I've not found that out, but that's very interesting.
Very interesting. So normally they're not going to be given squad numbers unless they're going to be involved at first team level at some point. So I'm not making any predictions, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a place on the bench tomorrow night against Wolverhampton Wanderers, which would be a massive sort of rise for him in terms of where he was last season. Josh was recovering from the growing pains that you hear about a lot of young kids suffer with these days. And so he had groin injuries, he had a couple of ankle injuries as well, but he seems to have stayed clear of injury the last 6 months or so, and what a really good player he's turning into. He's quick, he's strong, he's direct, he plays the simple ball, he's good in the air, he can shoot, he takes the ball early. I really rate him very highly. And I think, you know, those three players off the top of my head, I think it'd be very interesting to see what happens to them this season in terms of what sort of development they make. I was going to say Cathcart as well, but with him going out on loan, clearly the coaching staff feel that that's going to be better for him as opposed to sitting in the reserves and waiting for the third team chance.
Yeah, well, that's three players that me and everybody else will be looking out for. Interested to see how Joshua King, how he'll do as the season progresses as well. But, Tori, you also follow some of the academy players as well, so we're getting right down to the proper young lads in and around the squad. Is there, just a couple of players that sort of have really caught your eye, obviously going to most of the games as well. Is there any that you can sort of think of off the top of your head?
Yeah, again, there's two or three lads that you see in fits and starts, and you think they're going to be interesting to see how they develop. Ryan Tunnicliffe, he broke into the 18s last year. When he was with the 16s, he was outstanding. He was strong. He was physically more developed than many of the other lads. And then I thought last season he stagnated a little bit as he started to play against kids his own age or a little bit older, kids who were physically as big as him. And I didn't think he was an impressive. He played it right back on a couple of occasions when Reece Brown was injured. So rather than in central midfield, which is his preference. But this season in the 18s, he seems to be the driving force that he once was a few years back with the 16s. So I think he's really stepped his game up again, which is pleasing to see because he's a very committed, hard-working, aggressive midfielder, box-to-box, strong in the tackle, can score goals, very disciplined player, which I like. Robbie Brayton is another one that people have probably heard about. Robbie's had a lot of injury problems, and I think he had a fantastic Milk Cup where he won player of the tournament. He's got a superb left foot. He's strong on the ball. His crossing is excellent. He just needs to learn to get some consistency, and I think that playing time, I just think with his injuries, he hasn't been in the team regularly, but he's been playing regularly so far this season. He scored the winner against Barnsley from a free kick last weekend. So he's another one. But the one that people may not be aware of is a lad called Will Keane from Stockport. He's a classy player. He plays just off the front man, very sharing him in life, maybe a bit like Berbatov, a couple of people have said, which I'd agree with. He likes to drop off. Two good feet, good passer of the ball, not particularly rapid in terms of pace, but he knows where the back of the net is. He knows when to give the ball, when to hold on to the ball. His positional play is excellent. And I think he could be one to watch for those who watch METV or ever get down to Carrington to watch the kids play on a Saturday morning. Very good player, very good prospect, I think.
Excellent stuff. Well, we've got five or six players that we're definitely going to keep a lookout for here on the reserves review. So I shall be watching these guys with a keen eye and seeing if your predictions come true, Tony. We've run out of time, but basically what we're just so everybody knows what we're going to do, if that's all right with yourself, just have you on every couple of weeks. And so you can tell us about how the reserve guys are performing, obviously, because you go to all the games and you can see a bit more than I can because MUTV doesn't give you the full match experience like that you're getting.
I'm happy to do so, no problem.
Excellent stuff, Tori. Well, we shall speak to you probably about the start of October. I think we've got Sunderland at home and the reserves have, so we'll speak to you about then, if that's okay.
That's perfect. Look forward to it.
Rooney up to Ferdinand, out by Lescott. Ryan Giggs, great pass. To win it for Manchester United!
It's preview time now, guys. We got Stoke City on Saturday at the Britannia Stadium in the Premier League, of course. Well, Stoke, I mean, it's a really tough game. Last season, beginning of last season, you may have looked at that and say, well, that's going to be a dead certain 3 points. But the way Stoke play and their tremendous support, it just all adds up, and I think it's going to be a really tough encounter, and we're going to have to be on our toes if we're going to get the 3 points.
Yeah, like you say, I mean, they made it a bit of a fortress, really, last year. That's the main reason they stayed up, I think, the home form. Obviously, last time round, we only got a 1-0 win? Was that on Boxing Day last year, that?
Is that, it was Tevez or Berbatov scored quite late on, I believe.
Tevez scored, yeah. Yeah, it was vital for us, that. But I think this time around, I think we'll know what to expect. And they expect us to play a solid team. One that's not going to get bullied. and I think we'll be creative enough to get a goal or two. Obviously, Chelsea struggled there. They got a last minute winner, so you know they'll be up for it. They like playing in big games, don't they? Stoke, that's one of them to Premier League four now.
In terms of team news, Dov, Dan mentioned earlier that he would go with Foster. I'm pretty sure you'd be tempted to play Thomas Kuszak, but just the shape of the team and personnel changes, it's going to be heavily changed from the Carling Cup win, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it'll actually be quite similar to the team that faced Manchester City on Saturday. I think it'll obviously Darren Fletcher will start. I've got a feeling, I think Anderson will start again, because he put himself about against City as well. I know Dan wasn't too impressed with them, but I think against Stoke we're going to need players that are going to get stuck in a little bit as well. I think he'll play a five-man midfield and have, I don't know, maybe Berbatov up on his own, maybe play somebody out there, maybe Rooney, something like that. Just sort of counteract the physicality of the Stoke team.
I hope we go 4-4-2 though. Don't let them settle. No, let's put the game onto them from our point of view. No point playing five men against Stoke, I don't think. Mm-hmm. You don't need an extra man in midfield there. They're not going
to. I was going to see maybe if, like, to bring Paul Scholes in, because obviously like he's getting on a wee bit and stuff like that. But I think that against a team like Stoke, he could sit and pick them off from deep in midfield.
Yeah, I mean, another thing about Ben Foster, I think I would personally go with Ben Foster. I mean, I think he's a lot better. In regards to Kuszak coming for crosses and stuff like that, and I think that obviously with Stoke we're all about Rory Delap and his long throws, and I think it could be something where he could help dominate with, because I think he's decent at coming for crosses and claiming crosses, punching as well. I think he's a lot better at Kuszak doing that, so I think that's why I'd go with Foster, but we'll see.
Well, I'm delighted to say that we're being joined by Stoke fan Rex Orrin, who is the owner of the Delilah.co.uk forum. Thanks a lot for joining us, Rex. And, well, this week it's been a bit up and down for Stoke, hasn't it?
Yeah, on Saturdays we really dominated the game. Should have been 3-4 up, really, on the balance of play. But, you know, one mistake at the back, a silly challenge by Danny Collins, and it's all wasted. We dropped 2 points, which are 2 points you could really do with. And then we go Tuesday, a really poor start in the first half, and then the second half completely turned it around. It really was the game of two halves. It was absolutely phenomenal, and the way Tarsai and Ricky Fuller paired up, it's a joy to see.
Is it, and Griffin scored, is it 96 minutes as well? I mean, there's been a lot said in the past week about time added on.
We've done it at United. I think we played the referee off, got a few extra minutes, and Griff scored his first goal in 3 years, the last one being against Coventry at the Brit.
Not bad at all. So, getting to the game at the weekend, obviously, the champions you'll be playing against. Who do you think is your sort of main weapons against us, and players that we should maybe be worried about come the weekend?
I would normally say Ricardo Fuller, but not sure if you're aware, he picked up a groin injury on Tuesday. So whether he's fit or not, we really don't know. Failing that, Tonsai replaced. He's got the ability to turn players inside out and also play into other players. But overall, that general workmanship throughout the team, they really do play for each other. You've got no real stars as such. They just help and they just backtrack and tackle and they get the challenges and they really pressure. And look, we haven't got a real star, if you like, apart from Mickey Fuller.
I've got to say, Rex, obviously there's much more to your play than the Delap throwing, but we've got two goalkeepers at the moment. Ben Foster, he had a calamitous game against Man City where he made that awful error. I don't know if you saw it. And we got Thomas Kuszak as well, who's not the greatest keeper at the best of times either. Obviously, Van der Sar out injured. So I could see that being a real weapon for you on the weekend. If you fire any sort of throwing in and around that six-yard box, I think that could cause us real problems.
Believe it or not, I don't think there's been many goals scored from Rory's throw-ins for the last few months. We had one or two maybe, but not many. We had one the other week. I mean, I know Ben anyway from when his time of Stoke. And, yeah, you're right, he didn't have a very good game the other night, but he wasn't helped by a Gary Neville mess-up, shall we say. But, I mean, I don't really know your other goalkeeper. I mean, Van der Sar is a really, really good goalkeeper. Mm. But, as you say, you know, we all know that Ben flaps on crosses, so you need to get a big defender in there, mark them all up. The trouble is, as you know, we've got five or six players all over 6'3", so you're going to have your work cut out.
He's certainly a big side, a very physical side as well. Do you think, is there any players that you're particularly worried about? For instance, obviously you've got the normal names like Wayne Rooney, and maybe Darren Fletcher as well, who's having a fantastic season. Is there any players that you're particularly worried about come the weekend?
I think the main one is Ryan Giggs. I know he's got a lot of stigma from the Manchester United fans as a whole with being too old and Ferguson shouldn't be playing him, but I was reading on the Redcast forum earlier, is he responsible for 24 assists already this season? I mean, that's just going and a player of his age to dominate games like he's doing and setting up all your chances. It's going to, I think if we keep Giggs quiet and also Rooney, then we'll have a very good chance of keeping at least a point from the game.
I was going to ask you as well about, obviously, you sing the song Delilah as well. Can you just explain to me and some of the listeners as well why he's actually singing that song? Because it's always been a mystery to me.
There's one or two versions, but the most believable one is where a lad of stroke boys are in a pub and has singing a few raunchy songs, and the local constabulary came in and asked him to turn it down a bit. And a bloke called TJ, Anton Booth, he started up with Delilah, and it just went from there. It took about 2 or 3 years to really build up. But as you know now, it's our main anthem, and it's unique. It really is that simple. It's just about, you know, not singing dirty songs in pubs before a game.
And just finally, Rex, in terms of Stoke and the season, your ambitions, I mean, you had such a fantastic season last season. I'll hold my hands up. I was one of the people that said, yeah, I can't see Stoke staying up. But you did. You did really well. So what is the aim this season? Is it to push on and maybe finish higher up the table, or is it solely, let's not get relegated this season?
I think the club themselves would be quite happy just for consolidation. Hopefully the mid-table players as fans. I mean, a lot of them, a fair few are saying we could do the top 10. Me personally, a few others were saying, you know, our main aim should be to avoid relegation. But having already seen the likes of Bolton, Birmingham, Portsmouth, Hull, I really don't think that there'd be a flirtation with relegation whatsoever. So a top 10 finish would be absolutely out of this world. And entering personally above 15th, I'd be more than happy with. But the club, with the money spent on Tunchai, got Robert Hoopin as well, and Danny Collins, I mean, it's £12 to £15 million spent already. I would say they would be targeting a top 10 place.
I'm sure you're definitely capable of achieving that. And, well, thanks a lot for coming on and joining us today, Rex. And, well, all the best for Saturday.
Yeah, hopefully you won't have a miserable journey home, lads, okay?
We shall see, Rex, we shall see.
Well, episode 7 of the RedCafe.net podcast is just about coming to an end. Really appreciate everyone for listening. Do make sure you send your sort of questions, comments and any feedback you've got to podcast@redcafe.net. That just leaves me to thank the two lads for joining me, and yeah, make sure you stay tuned for next week's show.